Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are considering our love for Jesus. Do you love him today, right? How important is it that you love the Lord? It's so important, right? And throughout our series, we've been considering that we're going to talk about loving all the persons of the Trinity together, right? It's okay to talk about loving God, loving Jesus, even loving the Holy Spirit, and kind of blurring those lines a bit. That's no problem at all. And our key text and idea is the Great Commandment, where Jesus is tested and asked, which is the Great Commandment? And he replies, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And of course, to love your neighbor as yourself is the second. And he says, this is like the summary of the whole law. And of course, the people that were putting this guy up there were trying to trick Jesus, whether the guy himself was trying to trick Jesus. You can see some distinctions between Matthew's account, where he specifically says in Matthew 22, they were doing it to test him. But the guy in Mark, 12, where Jesus is interacting with him, Jesus says, well, this guy's actually answering wisely. And so maybe he was a little more sincere than the other guys were as they were putting him up there. But aren't you glad that Jesus gave the answer that he did so we can know the importance of loving God? And then we've been kind of taking it one step further to say, well, if this is so important, then we better cultivate our love for God and stir up our love for God, because we all know that we fall short of God's glory. We're not loving the Lord as strongly and as passionately and as wholeheartedly as the Lord has instructed us to be able to do that. And so we've considered these different ways to grow in our love for the Lord. Today, I want us to consider the relationship between loving God and obeying God, because it almost seems, when you read the Bible, that it's like one-to-one. It's so closely connected. It's almost like it blurs together. I don't know. Is that the way you read it? I mean, that's the way it seems to me, but I think that's the way it seems to some other people as well. So let's look at some of these verses and see if we can figure out the relationship between loving God and obeying God. I mean, really, even before we read the scriptures, I can tell you right now, when people say, oh, I love God, but their lifestyles are a train wreck of disobedience to God, you can know that however sincere they think they are, they don't really love God. So it's kind of sobering to think about it like that, but it's absolutely true, and we say that on the authority of Scripture, okay? John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How straight is that? I mean, that's really straight. So if you are living for the devil, it doesn't matter what kind of, feeling or intuition you may have, you don't really love Jesus. Because if you love him, you will keep his commandments. And in verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Then in verse 23 and 24, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Okay. So, yes, if you don't love God, I mean, if you don't keep God's word, if you're not about obeying, you don't love God, even if you think you do. You know, our hearts are deceitful. We can't even know our own hearts. Our hearts, even with our, even Christians, we still have remaining sin that tricks us up. It's like when we look at ourselves, it's like we're in the fun house. The mirror is distorted. We don't even know what's going on. So you may think, oh, yes, I love God. But if you don't keep God's word as the pattern of your life, no, you don't really love God like you think. All right, so we've got that. But then positively, if you do love God, there is obedience. Again, we're not perfect in this life, but is there a direction or a pattern of a love for God's word and a desire to do it? And the grace of God to give you grace to actually put those desires into practice. Okay, those are important. But what I want to distinguish as we continue to think through the relationship between love and obedience is, what about the Pharisees? I mean, they were all about the scriptures, weren't they? I mean, they were animals in writing it down, the scribes, and working it out down to the details, and even creating bonus rules that went beyond scripture just to make sure you didn't violate scripture. Isn't that loving the Lord? You kind of go, no, no, based on the way that Jesus engaged with them as a group. No, they were hypocrites. I mean, they may have looked like they were obeying on the outside, but they were missing it on the inside. And so it's not about just going through the motions. It's about doing it from the heart. And earlier in our series, we consider John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and she was talking about what kind of worship God wanted. And Jesus said, God is looking for worship in spirit and in truth. So yes, it matches up with the scriptures. Yes, it's in accord with what God commands, but there's got to be spirit there as well. There's got to be a heart. It's a heart inclination, a desire to do what's right. Okay, so this seems to be the key, right? Loving God is heartfelt obedience. It's a desire for God which shows up in doing the things that God commanded. Well, let's go to another key passage as we continue to try to make these connections and distinctions between love and obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And I want you to look at the key verbs here. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Okay, I'm going to suggest that Moses was not trying to fine-tune and make all of these distinctions. He was trying to intentionally blend these things together. They go together. So the fear of the Lord, right? So a right reverence of God. You're in awe of God. You know who he is. You know where he is. You know what he requires of you. And you are responding in reverence and awe. Walking in all of his ways. Walking is a lifestyle word. It means that we are obedient to what he wants us to do. And we're doing it in his ways. You think about a field, a wheat field that has a pathway through it where the wheat has been knocked down and maybe animals just always take this path. And this is the way, right? This is the way that God goes. This is what he does. This is what he likes. This is what pleases him. You might say that the pathway is the way. And so to walk in God's ways is to walk in the ways that are pleasing to him, the ways that match up with his love and commandments, right? Loving him and obeying him is walking in his ways. Well, he also specifically says that God wants you to love him. He requires you to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So here the love and the service is blurred together, because in Deuteronomy 6, that's where he commands them to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he's saying now that you should serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. So what does it mean to serve with all your heart and with all your soul? Well, there's that internal attitude, that internal component, which blurs together with love for the Lord. And then he just, you know, spells it right out, to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today. So this is so closely connected. Now we have to take a break. When we come back, we are going to consider more of this connection between love and obedience. While we're at the break, if you haven't done so, please give us a rating and review and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And I love to encourage you as well to think of somebody, think of a friend at your church, maybe a family member that you can pass this episode on to, because maybe that would be a great blessing to them. Do you know somebody that needs to love God more? I mean, I do, starting with me, right? All right, we'll come back in just a moment.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Krantz in just a moment. He's drawing the line between loving God and obeying him. And you know what's true about Integrated, the show you're listening to right now? That is the purpose of this show. Theology actually lived out in life. That's exactly what Dr. Krantz is not just teaching about today, but what he teaches about every single week. There's a group of people who say they value this kind of teaching, and then they prove it. We call them gospel partners, and they are the backbone of our ministry. They're the reason that this episode reaches you without a paywall. These are men and women who have been impacted by what they've heard here at Fortis Institute, so much so that they wanted to make sure more people in more places all over the world also have access to the content we're creating. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've heard something from Dr. Krantz or any of our fellows that has impacted you in such a way that you also want to make sure more people have access to this content. If that's true, you can get all of the details about what it would look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. Only if you're already giving to your local church. We don't want you giving to our ministry if you're not giving to your local church. That is the number one giving priority for any Christian, is to their local church. So you've got to have that area of your life taken care of. Also, we don't want you to give to our ministry if this would become a burden for you. And so get those areas of your life in order. And then once they are, go to fortisinstitute.org to get all of the details about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And the second thing I want to let you know, the Fortis Plus app, that is our distribution hub. That is where all of the content that we create actually lives. It's free, obviously, because everything we produce is free, but it's also deep. Every single episode of Integrated is found there, along with all of the content that's ever been created by Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Libby Glosson, Dr. Jason Lyle, and of course, Todd Friel. And new teaching is actually getting added every single day. So if you've ever wished you had something solid to listen to on your drive to work or your drive home or while you're cooking dinner, on the walk around the park, whatever the case is, there it is, already waiting for you, and it costs nothing. It is Fortis Plus, and you can download it right now from wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Krantz. This is Integrated.
Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krantz.
Welcome back. One of the things that I've often said when I'm talking to guys is the greatest gift that you can give to your wife is your own love for God. The greatest gift you can give to your kids is your own love for God. So cultivating your love for God is a great thing. I appreciate Brad Bigney's podcast, Thrive, where he's trying to apply these great truths from God's word directly to marriages. It's one of the Fortis Institute podcasts, and I would commend it to your attention, but we are stirring up our love for God, which affects your marriage, which affects your parenting, which affects everything about you. In fact, the most important things about you. And today we are considering specifically the connection, the direct connection between loving God and obeying God. And we're trying to circle it, you know, get closer and closer as we're trying to figure out the connection between love and obedience. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, it says this: by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Okay. He goes on to say, for everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So now we're blurring faith and love and obedience all together into one recipe, right, for the Christian life. So again, I'm trying to say it's not a one-to-one love and obedience, but oh wow, is it ever closely connected? John Stott, in his commentary on 1 John, he says this: so inexorable or close is the connection between the two, our love and obedience, that love for God, which in one sense issues in obedience, in another sense may be identified with it. Love for God is not an emotional experience so much as a moral commitment. Indeed, whether shown to God or human beings, agape, which is, of course, the Bible word for love, is always practical and active. So your love for God is not about you having a nice sentimental feeling, certainly not about a romantic feeling for God, but it is active because it expresses itself in a desire to be pleasing to him and to walk in his ways. Well, when Jesus quotes the great commandment, he is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so let's go back to Deuteronomy 6. Again, we're looking at all these connections between love and obedience. And there's a whole lot about obedience in this commandment, the greatest commandment about love. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. Okay, so yes, it's command and commandment and doing. Yeah, there's more doing in verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Okay, good. We're keeping his statutes. There's commands. There's commanding you. Now, verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, or as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. So listen up, be careful to do everything that God has given you, and then God is going to bless you in the promised land. Now here in verses 4 through 6 is the heart of the quotation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Okay, so this is the quote itself, to love God with everything you've got. Then verse 6 in Deuteronomy 6, And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And of course, verses 7-9, teach them continually, write them everywhere, you know, put up your post-it notes. It's all about it. And we want to even say, isn't it kind of interesting, that even the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might is a command, right? So loving God is obeying the commands of God. Wow. It issues in obedience. It's almost seen as identified together. And so what we're getting to is this is like a heartfelt, sincere desire to please the Lord by obeying his commands. This is really, really sweet. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Joy of Fearing God, also cited an ancient Near Eastern study by Meredith Klein, where the word love is used in ancient Near Eastern treaties or covenants to denote faithful adherence to the directives of the overlord. Isn't that interesting? So that seems to match up with Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy has a lot of references to loving God. We saw in our last segment in Deuteronomy 10, how loving God, fearing God, serving God with all your heart were all blurred together. And so now we're seeing that in the ancient Near Eastern world, which is the context, the broader context of Deuteronomy, this is that time, there were other covenants. And just even to say that you love the leader is basically committing to faithful adherence to the directives of that leader. So the peasant would swear, quote, our Lord, we will love, meaning to serve him by obeying the particular demands stipulated in the treaty. So we really can't separate our love for God and our obedience. It really does go together and in powerful ways. So this is so important for us, isn't it? To stir it up, to do the things we've been talking about throughout, not only today, but throughout this series. We want to think about God's love for us. We want to meditate on the gospel because that's where God demonstrates his love for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We want to do things like to spend time in his word, but not just in a mechanical, legalistic way, but in a way that we might know our God more and know his ways, know what he wants from us. We might pray that God would revive our hearts and to stir our love for him, like that Elizabeth Prentice hymn, oh, more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Help me love Jesus more. We want to be involved in church. Again, not in a legalistic way, but rallying together with our brothers and sisters. They're loving God. They're expressing their love for God in corporate singing. And we want to do the same. We want to hear together as God's word is proclaimed, as God reveals himself and his ways to us. We want to be all about it in helping our brothers and sisters to get fired up about our love for God. We want to get rid of lesser loves, to purge those things. We want to sing in our hearts to the Lord. We want to do evangelism. We want to meditate on God's attributes. We want to lean into the promises of God, and we want to help our brothers and sisters to do the same. Well, Matthew Henry was the great Puritan commentator of the Bible, and he has a wonderful observation based on Deuteronomy 6, based on this great commandment to love the Lord. He says this, we must love him, number one, with a sincere love, not in word and tongue only, saying we love him when our hearts are not with him, but inwardly and in truth. Number two, with a strong love. The heart must be carried out toward him with a great ardor and fervency of affection. Number three, with a superlative love. We must love God above any creature whatsoever and love nothing besides him but what we love for him. Number four, with an intelligent love, we must know him and therefore love him as those who see good cause to love him. Number five, with an entire love. He is one, and therefore our hearts must be united in this love, and the whole stream of our affections must run towards him. Oh, that this love of God may be shed abroad in our hearts. Wonderful. Of course, that's what the Holy Spirit does, doesn't he? In Romans chapter 5, it talks about the Holy Spirit shedding the love of Christ abroad in our hearts. He helps us. We don't even know how to pray, and the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We don't know how to love, but you know what? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Not only love for people, but love for our God. So we know God's word says these things. Now let's go do them by his grace and for his glory. Love the Lord your God.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.